So as young people, I would like to ask, how many of you have battled or are still battling with inferiority complex? Just lift up your hands. Nobody? Oh boy. I thought I was the only one in the world. You also. Just 2-3 of you. Maybe you are shy to acknowledge that. Because in every young person, there will be a kind of dissatisfaction that I am not like so and so, I am not like so and so. Why God has made me like this? Why I am like this and they are like that? Why was I born in this family? Why was I not born in that family like that other fellow? You know, I don't know whether you are honest in lifting or not lifting your hands, but I battled it for a long, long, long time. I bought books, how to overcome inferiority complex, so many books, self-help books and things like that. I read almost all of them, but it didn't help me one bit. Because these are all written by psychologists and you know, these motivational speakers, and they will tell you, no, you assert your authority, you be confident, you be bold, and this. Then when you are not bold, how can you be bold? When you are timid and shy, how can you overcome it? There are books on how to overcome shyness and timidity and things like that. There are so many self-help books. I bought lots of them in my younger days. Because I was battling with all these thoughts, inferiority thoughts, and I was so shy and timid and withdrawn, introvert. I didn't want to face people. I could not look at another person in the eye and speak. I was so self-conscious what people will think about me. Like that. Do you face these problems, or I am the only one in this world? Yes or no? I am feeling out of place. Maybe you are, but you are hesitant to come forth. You know, you need to recognize that you are not a cosmic random choice that you are born into this world by accident. People say, we didn't plan this child, some parents say, but accidentally this child was born. That may be an accident to the parents, but not to God. God, we read in the Bible that He chose us from before the foundations of the earth. What does that mean? That means that God had thought about you. It says in Ephesians 1:4 that God chose us from before the foundations of the world. Means you and I were conceived in the mind of God much before we were conceived in our mother's womb. And the time gap could be probably even before Adam was created. God thought about you. You put your name there. God thought about you that you should be born on such and such a date, such and such a year, such and such a century, and in such and such a place, to such and such a family. all that God had, you know, already pre-planned for each one of us. That is the meaning of that verse. He had chosen us from before the foundations of the world. Why you were not born in the 18th century or 1st century? You were born, some of you were born in the 20th century, some in... I was born in the last century, but I'm not 100 years yet. But God had a plan and a purpose in creating you and me. A specific plan and a purpose. Remember that you are not an accident. You are not cosmic, random accident. You were not just born like that, just like that. God had, you know, in Psalm 139, I would encourage all of you young people to read that psalm. It's an excellent psalm written by David. He says in that, even before I was born, when I was being made in the seclusion, even my unformed substance, Lord, you saw me there. And you wrote about me all the days of my life, when I should be born, how I should live, where I should live, what I should do, and when my life should end, from the beginning till end. Even before I was born, Lord, it was all recorded in your records. Psalmist says that go home and read it, meditate upon it, read it in different versions. That will give you a better understanding of Scripture. I refer to various versions so that I can get different shades of meaning of Scripture, not just go by one version. Especially if you are in the habit of referring to KJV, it's a little tough to understand because it's old 16th century Shakespeare in English. So it's difficult to understand, but take some modern versions like NASB or Good News Bible or Message paraphrase or even the Living Bible and things like that, so that it can make it very clear. You can understand it more clearly and know the mind of God in a way that is easy for you to comprehend. And you know why these inferiority thoughts come to us? I feel inferior. Why do I get such thoughts? Is mainly because I tend to compare myself with others. That's the problem. That's the basic problem for all complexes, be it inferiority complex or superiority complex. I mean, not many of us are obsessed by superiority complex, but inferiority complex is something that most of us, especially when we are young, we go through. Because we compare ourselves with others. I'm not like, not so handsome like this man, or not pretty like this girl. I'm not as tall as that man. I'm short, or I'm dark, and my facial features I don't accept. I wish I could be like that. You know, everyone has a complaint. You go and ask Miss Universe, or Mr. India or Mr. World, if anything like that is there. Go and ask them, are they satisfied the way they are? They will say no. I wish I was a little more taller, or you know, a little fairer, or my nose was a little more shapely. Things like that. Or I wish I had this color hair and this color skin and things like that. Nobody is happy. Everybody wants what the other person has. That is human nature. And what is the solution to all this? Any answer? We have mic there. Please feel free. This is not one man thing here. We can interact and be informal in these meetings. So, what could be the reason? Anybody? Like I told you earlier, it's comparison. And the main thing is that we want to give a good impression to others. We want to please others. You know, how many of you have read How to Succeed in Life or Secret to Successful Life and things like that? Books on success. How many of you have read? Hey, you are all... Do you read books or no? Why are you so quiet? Am I talking to living people or some dolls here? Haven't you read books on how to succeed or how to be successful or how to be a millionaire in 1 month's time and things like that? You haven't read those books? No? Yes or no? Then speak aloud so that I'll know that I am speaking to a live audience. See, there are so many books. I have also read all those, number of those books. How to Succeed, How to Be Successful, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie and so many self-help books by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale and Positive Thinking, Possibility Thinking, so on and so forth, Napoleon Hill and so many authors, motivational speakers. I have read, but I tell you, none of them helped me. It sort of helps you maybe a couple of weeks or months, then you forget about it, it fizzles out. But there are so many books on how to be successful. But have you read or heard about how to be a failure or unsuccessful in life? Nobody, I think. Because nobody wants to write books on titles like that, because they know that those books won't be sold. Everybody wants How to Succeed and books like that. But who would like to buy a book, How to Fail in Life or How to Be a Failure? You know how to be a failure? Can anyone give me one scriptural reference to that? Okay, you all have your Bibles with you, right? Turn to Galatians 1:10. Can somebody stand up and read loudly? Galatians 1:10. Yeah.
For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Yeah. See, the Apostle Paul recognized this. 2000 years ago he wrote this, saying that if I am still trying to please men, I am no longer a servant of Christ. You know, he was so focused in his life that his focus was one thing I do. In the book of Philippians, he says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me. What is lying behind me? All my successes and all my failures. I forget and leave them behind me. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the high calling of God. My calling is to please God. And then he says, if I am still trying to please men, I am no longer a servant of God. Our problems arise because we want to please people. We want to gain the approval of those around us, our friends, our peers, our neighbors, maybe your relatives. This is a problem because we want to give an impression to them, like, you know, so that they can accept me. We are more interested in being accepted by society, by people around us, than by the one who created you and me. We are not so conscious of his presence. We think, no, we can do it without him. That's not the answer. The answer is, first of all, if you want to make your life count for God, first decide in your life that you will stop pleasing people. Stop pleasing people. That is the secret of success. Because even Jesus said, I don't want approval from anybody. He lived before the Father's face, and that was all that he needed. And that's all that we need too. And there is no end to pleasing people. However hard you try to please people and try to make them accept you, you know, they will still find some faults or weakness in you. And still they will be poking at you. You are not like this, you are not like that. You know, this thing we have heard in the church many times for a number of years, that you must regard other people's opinion about you as fit for the trash can. Once you decide that in your life, that you will not go after man's approval, and you will not live to please man, and live only to please God. If you make that your goal, you will succeed in life. But if you want to be a failure, go ahead trying to please people. And sure enough, you'll fail in your life. On the people who forgot about what others think about them, those who concentrated only on what is essential, one thing is needful. The Bible says, Jesus said that to Martha. Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but actually a few things are needful. And he said only one thing actually. That is to sit at the feet of the Lord and listen to him and please him. And Mary has chosen that better part. So we all need to come to that place where we consider all other things as rubbish, like Paul said in Philippians 3. He said all these other things. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He gives all his, his background, how he was, how he lived, and in what family he was born, and all. If I have to boast of myself, he lists all that. Then he says at the end, I consider all these things as rubbish or as garbage compared to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is not your goal, if that's not my goal, then we have missed it big way. My dear young people, decide today that you will stop pleasing people, you will stop wanting to, you know, get people to approve you. What's the use of people approving me? The whole world applauds and approves me. And finally I am cast out from the presence of the Lord. He says, depart from me. What's the use? So you prioritize things in your life. First things first. And don't get distracted by so many things around you, especially in this age in which you are. When we were young, all these things were not there, not so much. But now everything you have access to everything, good or bad. And you can make or mar your life. So, don't get distracted and pulled away in all directions and be torn in pieces. Don't let it happen to your life. Concentrate on what needs to be done. Focus your attention on things that are essential, that are important. In Psalm 27, the psalmist says, one thing have I asked of you, one thing I desire. Says, only one thing. These people, they were very focused, the psalmist and Mary and the apostle Paul. One thing I do, he says. They all did things that needed to be done. Particularly one thing, that is to listen to God's word and to store his word in our hearts and to meditate upon them and let it guide us from within instead of we being guided by external things. And when we let the word of God control us and take hold of us, then, you know, psalmist says in Psalm 119, he says, most of you know this, thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. So how do you overcome sin in your life? By storing God's word when you are young, when you are single, when you have the time. Once you get married and have children, you find less and less time to read and meditate upon God's word. When you are young, use your time profitably and concentrate on things that needs concentration. Your students, some of you are students, most of you probably, and your main thing is to study well. Because your parents spend so much on you, they have invested so much on you, they expect that you study well. What else you got to do? As students, you got to do your studies, that's all. Now all these other things, unnecessary things, you need to learn to cut them off from your timetable, from your daily routine. Cut them out. And concentrate on your studies. Don't bother about this friend, that friend who did some harm to you, who spoke some bad things about you. Put them in the trash can that it belongs to. Okay, don't get bothered about all those things and don't keep on munching over it. You just throw them off once for all. How many of you throw the garbage in the garbage van every day morning? Near our house, the garbage van comes every day morning, almost. So, whatever garbage we have, we go and throw in the garbage van and we don't even turn around to look at it. Oh, I threw the garbage today. How many of you miss your garbage? And how many of you take a second look at your garbage? Once you have dumped it. So think about the opinion of people and the opinion of this world and the fashions of this world, the ways of this world, all as garbage. One day, 1 John 2:15 onwards, it says, the world and its lusts and its fashions, including passions, everything will fade away. But he who does the will of God shall abide forever. Live for the things of eternity, eternal values, brothers and sisters. So the devil wants to paint a very glamorous and glossy picture about this world and all that it has to offer. He did that even to Jesus. He offered all that to Jesus, showed everything and said, it's been given to me. And Jesus was not such a dumb person to accept that. He knew he had created all that. He was the creator. Why would he want that in a cheap way and through somebody whom he has created? He said, nothing doing. I'll give you all this if only you bow your knee to me. That's what Satan is telling today, even today. If you bow your knee to me, I'll give you all these things. And many people, even some of the celebrities, I read about them, that they say they have sold their soul to Satan. Publicly they say, they have sold their soul to Satan so that they can be big and famous and rich and influential in this world. Okay, how long it will last? Just one lifetime. And how long it will last? Maybe 50 to 80 years, max 100 years. Some of them died in their 40s and 50s. Rock stars and whatever you call them, pop singers, movie actors, actresses, committed suicide. That's the ultimate goal of Satan. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. These are the three things that Satan comes to steal from you, to take from you. To steal things from you, your joy, your peace, your contentment. Steal, kill. Slowly and steadily he will kill you and destroy you in hell. These are the three purposes for which Satan has come. But Jesus said, I have come, in the same verse, so that you may have life and life eternal. Dear brothers and sisters, think about the value of life. All that you study, all that you aspire for and take up the highest paying job and marry the best looking person and have the best house and the car and everything. How long will it last? Just one lifetime. Not more than 100 years. And some of you are already in your teens and 20s and 30s. And you have left a few more years to live. And would you like to live for that? In those days? Just a few more days left. And then what's going to happen after that? If you're one of those people who believes that we got evolved, the theory of evolution, if you believe that rubbish, you will end up with the one who created that. But my Bible says, and I know in my heart and my conscience tells me that I am not my own. I am not the product of random chance, cosmic chance. I am skillfully thoughtfully, intentionally planned, purposed, designed, created by my Creator for His glory. I believe this. And if you believe that, your priorities will change and you will be what God wants you to be. You know, I want you to turn with me to read, one of you, please read this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Can somebody read this? Just the first part of it.
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for
yes,
good works.
Yes, bus. It says, we are what? Loudly. We are God's workmanship, created by Him. Okay? Not evolved through monkeys or donkeys. We are created by Him in Christ Jesus for good works. So who are we? We are His workmanship. That means we are created by Him. Each one of you, you have not evolved from amoeba or chimpanzee. You have been skillfully designed by God, and to be born in this particular century or the last century, on a particular date, in a particular place, in a particular family, everything has been designed by God. Don't you ever compare yourself with others. Only when you compare yourself with others, you feel that sense of inferiority. You know what is the solution to this inferiority complex? The solution is to accept that you are God's workmanship, created by God in Christ for good works. You are God's workmanship. You, each one of you. And you know that when God created you, remember this, when God created you, He broke the mold and He decided not to make anyone like you. And you need to believe that there was nobody before me like me, and there will not be another person like me till the world comes to an end. And in all these centuries or millennia, that there has been only one you. Only one you. You are one of a kind. There is none before you. There will be none after you like the way you are. You are unique in every way. And accept that God has made you this way. If you don't accept that, you will have problem all your life. You will not be secure. You will be always insecure. You will always be wishing I was like that or I was like this. It will never happen in your life. The day you accept yourself the way you are, your circumstances, your situations, the way you are made, the level of intelligence that God has put in you, and the surrounding that God has placed around you. If you accept that and live with thankfulness, you know, all these things will just, you know, disappear from your life. These insecurities, all these things. The Bible says very clearly, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And you are unique. And another verse in 1 Peter 2:9. Turn to 1 Peter 2:9. Let somebody read that.
But you are a chosen race.
Listen to that. Listen to that. Read it slowly and listen to it. Let it sink in you.
But you are a chosen race.
Yeah.
A royal priesthood.
Chosen race.
A royal priesthood.
See, chosen especially by God. You are a chosen race. Choice race, you can say. Yeah, next one.
A royal priesthood.
A royal priesthood. You are a royalty.
Amen. A holy nation.
A holy nation.
A people for God's own possession.
A people for God's own possession. God wants to live inside of you. The creator of this universe wants to live inside of you. Yeah.
So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah. This is your calling, my dear young people. You are a chosen race. God doesn't have anybody like you. He has chosen you specifically. Even before you were born, he knew you by name, that so and so would be my child, would be born in this place, in that family, and with these features. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You're royal. Remember that you're sons and daughters of the Most High God, the only King, immortal, eternal, and invisible. He will be visible one day when we meet him. And he has chosen you to be his son and daughter. And when he has chosen you with that high and holy calling, don't you compare yourself with these worldly fellows who are there for some time and will vanish like the flower of the field that is there today and gone tomorrow. You are not like that. You are an eternal being. God is eternal being. God has begotten you through Jesus Christ to be an eternal being, to have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are a royalty. Remember that. You are prince and princesses of God Almighty, who is the King of kings and the Lord of this whole universe, before whom all these other earthly kings, all the pharaohs, Abimelechs, and Ahasuerus, Cyruses, Dariuses, and Caesars, Maharajas, all those who ruled all these centuries, they have all become dust now. Dust you are, to dust thou shalt return. And they have become dust today. Where are those Caesars? Where are those pharaohs? Those Maharajas, where are they today? You are an eternal being, remember that. And in the King James Version, it says you are a people for his own possession, is there in our NASB translation. But in the King James Version, you know, I like that verse. You are a peculiar people. Peculiar in the world, we use that word as, you know, something strange and odd. You know? But that is not the meaning here. Here the meaning peculiar means something out of the ordinary. Unique. One of a kind. That is your peculiarity. So when you're moving with your worldly friends, remember that you're not like them. You're a different person. You are chosen by God. You are God's creation. You are a child of God. If you remember that, if that gets embedded in your heart and mind, you know, you will have security all your life. You will not be swayed by all these things that you see around you. People hankering for this and hankering for that, going after this, going after that. They want to be like this and like that. Accept the way that God has made you and commit your life to the Lord in His hands and ask Him, Lord, I want my life to count for You. This one life, only one life, it will soon pass away. But what God does in and through you, that only will last for all eternity. So remember that. Not just what you do for God that lasts, but what God does in and through you, through Christ, that lasts for eternity. Live for the things of eternity. Let eternal things be, you know, running in your mind day and night, all the days of your life. Especially, my dear young people, I would like to say, especially for those who have been born and brought up in CFC. I have said this number of times, I don't mind saying it again. Don't think that you are Christian just because you're born into a Christian family. And don't think that you're okay, you're all right and acceptable or accepted by God because you're in CFC. Don't have that false notion. Religion, Christianity is only in your certificate. But have you been born in God's family? Does heaven recognize you? Or does God recognize you as His son or daughter? How many of you, I don't want you to lift your hands, examine yourself, how many of you have the assurance of salvation? How many of you know that God is your Father? God has forgiven you and cleansed you and accepted you as His son and daughter, and that your name is written in the book of life. If you have that assurance, the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become God's children. John 1:12. But if you don't have that assurance, ask the Lord today, maybe right now, when we close in prayer, you can cry out to God and confess your sins. Because the Bible has put all of us under one blanket. No human being was born a saint as far as God is concerned. You know what certificate God gives to all of us from Adam till the last man to be born? Read Romans. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes everyone, every single human being born in this world before God is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ by repentance and faith. And when we come in brokenness, in repentance, acknowledging our sin, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He says, as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become God's children. And he, whosoever comes to Me, Jesus said, I will never cast him out. Don't think that God will randomly pick up here and there, one here, one there. He says, as many as received Him, or whosoever comes to me. That includes everybody. I will never cast him out. Acknowledge that. And don't get squeezed into this world's mold. You know, this world wants to try and squeeze you into its mold. The fashions that you see outside, the worldly things that you observe in other families and other friends in college or workplace, and slowly and steadily, and some things that you watch on your mobile or TV, you know, they influence you. All these fashionable dresses, where do they come from? From all these models and from all these celebrities who are paid for that, to lure you, to follow their fashions. Would you like to follow them and make them your heroes and heroines? And follow them. If you do, you'll go where they go. You should be willing to go there. But if you reject that and dress modestly and live carefully and live in a manner that God is happy about you. Don't bother about what people think about you. If they think you're old-fashioned, so what? You know where it belongs, right? Their opinion. From today onwards, remember, when anybody makes a comment about you, let it go through this yardstick. Will it matter 50 years from now? Or is this worth listening to? Worth following? We read that on Sunday, Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. 1 and 2. Can somebody read it loudly? We'll close with this. Romans 12:1-2. Loud and strong.
Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Thank you. See, so clearly this word is written that don't be conformed to this world. How do you get conformed to this world? By exposing yourself to this world and being receptive to it. When you open up yourself to this world and the things of this world, what the world will do, it will slowly and steadily. You know how these pythons catch their prey? Have you seen that in National Geography or Animal Planet or Discovery Channel? Pythons or anaconda, that's the biggest snake in the world, or other snakes, how they catch their prey. They trap them, and suddenly, you know, their speed is so fast, just a fraction of a second, they catch and inject venom into them and leave it. And it will run about here and there, whatever it is, maybe a rat or whatever. And in no time it will be dead. Or sometimes these rat snakes, which don't have venom in it, in their fangs, they catch them, and or these pythons, they coil themselves around them. Every time you exhale, they tighten the grip. They tighten the grip. You will not be able to inhale. Every time you exhale, they tighten, 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 so that finally you will not be able to inhale at all. And then you will be gone. This is how they do. And this is how they catch their prey. Satan is like that, a cunning, crafty fellow. He knows how to snare you, how to bait you, how to, you know, get you. Slowly and steadily and without your knowing, like that experiment somebody did in the lab on frogs. They put a live frog in hot water, it immediately jumped, most of you knowing that. And they put in a cold water and slowly they started heating up from underneath. And it became a little warm and little lukewarm and it was enjoying it. And slowly and steadily the heat became more and more and more intense and it came to a boiling point. It didn't know what was happening. It was just, no, it was just gone with the hot water, died without recognizing that it was being trapped. Like that, no, Satan can trap you in such a way that you will not know. That's why Paul says, we are not ignorant of Satan's schemes or devices. He's a cunning fellow. Be very careful. And another thing that he wants you to know is that he is not there. He is non-existent. These days people say, what man, you're talking about devil and all, where is it? You're living in the 21st century. Be scientific, don't be so traditional to believe all those old things about Satan and devil and demons and all that. There's no such thing, they say. That is how Satan wants you to be unaware. But the Bible says we are not ignorant of Satan's schemes. You see, Satan is there right from the beginning of the Bible till the end of the Bible. In the beginning was God, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. In the first 5 verses you see them. And then comes Satan in the 3rd chapter. And all through he is there. In the New Testament also it begins with the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit and the devil. Jesus said, pray in this way, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Who is the evil one? Jesus mentioned about Satan. And Jesus faced Satan, overcame him. And last book of the Bible also, it is there about him. So don't think that Satan is non-existent. He is there, very much alive and kicking on this planet Earth. Be careful. Our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of this world, and the evil rulers in the heavenlies, not against the people who are ruling, but the spirits that are behind them, making them to rule according to his whims and fancies, so that everything gets culminated to the end of this age when Jesus comes. His coming is very soon. You can see that happening right here in your, before your eyes. It's happening right in your time. So be careful. Listen to the word of God. And don't harden your hearts. Let's bow our heads in prayer. If there's anyone here who is not sure whether God has accepted you or whether your sins are forgiven, just ask this one question. If you die today, where will your soul go? If you're not sure of that, ask the Lord, confess your sins to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you knowingly, unknowingly, all these years. Please have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins and cleanse me in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can be strong inside, in the inner man, and overcome sin, Satan and the flesh. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will write my name in the book of life and make me your child and cause me to walk in a manner worthy of my calling. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word to us so that we may not sin against you, that we may have proper guidance and direction in life. Father, pray that you will help every brother, sister, child gathered here. Lord, we pray that you will have mercy on every one of us. Help us to be all that you want us to be. Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves, our life, our future into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.